This is an iHeart podcast.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. Drinking beer out of the skulls of your enemies or other parts of their body, is that okay? Coronavirus restrictions, hypocrisy, election fraud, that and more coming up right now on I'm Right. We're going to get to the election fraud updates. I know. Believe me, I'm aware. We're going to get to the new coronavirus hypocrisy, all that. We're going to get to all of it. But we have to talk about something. We have to have a frank conversation about something. And what do I always say? It may make you uncomfortable. It may make you uncomfortable, but we have to have a talk. The story came out in some publication called The Guardian about this Australian Special Forces guy pictured, as you can see, drinking beer out of a prosthetic leg. It's not just any prosthetic leg. That's the leg of a Taliban fighter who, well, he doesn't need that leg anymore. I don't think I have to elaborate on why he doesn't need that leg anymore, but he just doesn't need it anymore. And of course, there's outrage across the media. All the Western nations, across the media. Oh, I can't believe this. This is barbaric. War crimes. What is the world coming to? It's time for us to have a talk. You see, cultures are very powerful things. That's why we talk about the culture war all the time and always will on this show. Your culture, the one you have now, the one I have now, it's a powerful thing. Just like every culture is. It guides you. It teaches you, even when you don't realize it's teaching you what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. You know, there are still little mini societies around the world who practice things that you would consider barbaric, horrific, morally wrong, and you're probably right. But it happens, and they don't know any better because their culture tells them it's okay. You know what your culture has told you about people who fight in wars on behalf of your country? You've seen the movies. I know you have. You've read the books. You've seen the new Avengers. What do they all tell you? The guy going overseas to fight for your country is Captain America. He's got perfect teeth. And he's handsome. He's polite. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Ah, let me help this little old lady across the street. He doesn't cuss. Gosh, geez, no. He doesn't even have tattoos. Tattoos? That wouldn't be American. He certainly doesn't make crude jokes about his fellow soldiers, about women, about anything. No, he's Captain America, right? That's a complete fantasy. We have men right now, and thank God for these men, overseas, killing people on your behalf, on behalf of the United States of America. That's what they do. They leave this country for 6 months at a time, a year longer. They go time and time and time again. And while you and I sit here in the air conditioning, eating what we want to eat, when we want to eat it, driving, music, podcast, TV, the first, they're in dark, dangerous places, killing and being killed. Their hands get bloody. Their hands get muddy. They are too cold. They are too hot. It is a rough existence by any measure. Men who throw themselves voluntarily into that situation and do these things on behalf of you, on behalf of me, they're going to have some rough edges. That's the way it is, and that's the way it has to be. You don't exist in that world as Captain America. I know it offends your feels to see some Australian SAS dude hammering a beer out of a prosthetic leg. Doesn't bother me one bit. I'm disappointed it wasn't a skull. That's how warriors have conducted themselves throughout the history of mankind. And it's so bizarre to me how this new touchy-feely era feels like we've somehow gotten past human nature. That's not your accountant. That's not your kid's kindergarten teacher. That's not the guy who comes and puts shingles on your roof. That's the guy who goes and shoots people in the face. He's going to speak in ways you wouldn't want in front of your children. You might not want him around your wife. He's going to have tattoos, probably some scary, ugly ones. He's going to cuss a lot. Probably drives too fast, almost undoubtedly drinks too much beer. He's not a saint, but you're not either. And I'm certainly not. But that guy gets things done that you and I can't and won't. Maybe we can put down the whole condemnation of the people who are over there doing dark things, the things we don't want to do. Maybe we should just let them be who they are and maybe even celebrate them. Just a thought. Now, I knew I had to go off on that. Let's get to the election fraud stuff. My position on this is exactly the same now as it has been. I don't know how widespread it was. I don't know how targeted it is. I know I see theories and reports and evidence everywhere. Everywhere. And they run the gamut, don't they? I know you've been seeing the same things I've been seeing. You're seeing things about hacked voting machines, special forces raids. You're seeing it all. Hundreds of thousands of votes changed. No votes changed. You're seeing people out there saying there was no election fraud at all. Or now that those people are mostly quiet, they're saying, well, okay, there was a little. And what are you supposed to believe? I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know what I'm supposed to believe. Rarely do I look at something and consume all the news I can on it and come away from it going, well, I don't know. And you know whose fault that is? Not yours. It's not mine. It'd be nice if we had some kind of entity out there that would investigate claims and then come back once they found out the truth and report it to us, wouldn't it? It'd almost be, man, you know what we could call it? Media. Wouldn't that be interesting if we had a media? But we don't, do we? Not one you would trust. The media could come out tonight and run several reports telling me the sky is blue, and I'd automatically think, oh gosh, the sky isn't blue. What happened? What did I miss? That's what we are now. So all I can do is bring to you the latest every single day, and I can hope, although I don't have a great deal of faith, I'll shoot you straight there, I can hope everything works itself out in the courts. I know there are some talented, highly paid people working on behalf of Team Trump trying to get this thing worked out in courts. I know there are people on the other side trying to make sure that everything doesn't get worked out in the courts. I don't know what's real, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I do. But here's Georgia's Secretary of State.
As we move forward in the process, we will, as we always have been, we will continue to investigate credible claims of illegal voting and violation of state election law. There are currently over 250 open cases from 2020, and we have 23 investigators to follow up on them. Some of these include a charge in Gwinnett County that absentee ballots outnumber absentee envelopes. This is the kind of specific charge that our office can investigate and ascertain the truth.
Okay, so maybe the solution for you and I is wait. And I'm not here to preach to you. Just calm down, peon. We'll figure all this out. I'm just as anxious as you are. Believe me when I tell you, I want Donald Trump to be president for the next 4 years. Really, really badly. But I don't think we have a choice now, unless you just feel like getting yourself so worked up your head explodes, but to wait. Watch and wait. We'll see what works out. I know we're already taking part of this to the Supreme Court. Each state has its own individual fight, and I can't work out what's real. The President of the United States sure seems to think he knows. He called in to the voter fraud hearing in Arizona.
We got 74 million and we didn't win. But I know that we won Arizona and we won Michigan and we won Georgia and we won Pennsylvania and we won Wisconsin. But what they did is they played games, and games like nobody's ever seen before. This is the first time Republicans or the first time anyone has fought back. The 2020 election was rigged. It was a scam, and the whole world is watching, and they're laughing at our country. They're laughing at us. They know who won, and we won by a lot.
Let's address that for a moment. I understand the entire American media has joined forces to tell you you're a whack nut conspiracy theorist idiot if you believe Donald Trump actually won the election. You do know there are several world leaders out there who still haven't congratulated Joe Biden because they don't know. And you can argue all day long about the reasons the world may be mocking us. Not that I generally care what the world thinks, but they do think it's hilarious that we have this process now. And again, remember, I want you to remember, 4 years of Russian collusion, 2 years of a special prosecutor investigating false claims of Russian collusion, Russian agent Donald Trump, Putin puppet Donald Trump. I know you saw, I know you remember the headlines. So don't tell me right now not to question election results. I'm old enough to remember what you did. Sit and eat it. You enjoyed it. Kayla McEnany has opinions as always.
That's right. The journalists that peddled lies, conspiracy theories, won Pulitzers for it and never were held accountable, now will not ask a single question about the anomalies you noted. Those are facts, Sean. What you just noted are hard, cold facts. You had an election where we had mass mail-in voting on a nationwide scale, never tried before at this level. And then you had these anomalies and more. Places like Pennsylvania, another great article by Daniel Horowitz noting that in Pennsylvania, where last time in 2016, 1% of mail-in ballots were rejected, they get rid of signature match and 0.038% are rejected. That means they accepted 27 times more absentee ballots because they got rid of signature match, they pre-cured ballots, they fixed them in some counties and not others, and the result was a tainted election that did not truly capture the vote of the American people.
Okay, you can say a lot of things about Kayla McEnany. I personally like her a lot, but don't call her an idiot. What's your explanation for what she just said there? I'm talking to the people of there was no fraud. What is your explanation for what she just said? My eyes aren't lying to me. Tell me a reasonable explanation. Matt Gaetz.
I think you should extend an invitation for the inner city African American voters who were uninspired by Barack Obama, but then who leapt to the polls to go vote for Joe Biden to come on the show. Because I, like the president, I want to meet these people. I want to understand what was so deeply compelling about Joe Biden's message, because we didn't really hear much of one at all. What we know is that Donald Trump won an overwhelming landslide of the people who actually showed up and voted in person, whether that was on election day or during early voting. And then the farther the voter got away from the authentication process, the later the votes were counted, the better Joe Biden did with those voters. And so I think there's a lesson here for Republicans to learn. If we allow the voting process to be separated from identification, authentication, audit, and review, then we're asking for these types of outcomes, because when it comes to the people who actually have to show up in person and vote, this was a landslide for Donald Trump. And everybody knows it. No one seriously even questions that.
How are you supposed to argue about that authentication argument? It's true. It's true. I need an explanation. I'm not saying stolen this, stolen that. I need an explanation for some of these anomalies, because right now, my eyes are telling me this whole thing looks awfully dirty. And people are angry. How angry? Well, really angry.
Anybody who thinks that this election went well, like that idiot Krebs, who used to be the head of cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah, the guy that was on 60 Minutes last night.
That guy is a Class A moron. He should be drawn and quartered, taken out at dawn and shot.
Okay, I'm probably too far, maybe. But I'll tell you this, not to belittle it, but people are mad. And I think people have every right to be. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, here's the thing. Natural medicines, holistic healing approaches, they are known to alleviate things like joint pain, headaches, anxiety. Are you by chance having any anxiety? And that's why I choose CBD. But where do you go for CBD? The options are endless. I know, as somebody who's liked it for a long time, where do you even begin? There's a new shop on every corner. So I just go to doctorstrustedcbd.com because they actually researched all the CBD companies and they picked the best ones. That's why they teamed up with Be Best Organics, made in the USA. Buy it right there, doctorstrustedcbd.com. When you do that, I'm going to save you a little money. Use the code Jesse. They give you 10% off and free shipping. DoctorsTrustedCBD.com. We'll be back. I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to ask the question again and think about how you answer. How mad are you at these politicians for what they've done to us with the coronavirus lockdowns? I'm going to play you this little clip. I want you to just breathe it in, and while you're enjoying it, ask yourself, how mad are you?
LA County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl, we got several tips from sources within the restaurant industry about this, and they were less than pleased, citing more of that elected official hypocrisy, a little bit of do as I say, not as I do. So let's rewind the clock. You'll remember last Tuesday, LA County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl voted to ban outdoor dining at all 31,000 restaurants here in LA County, and she cited the surge in COVID-19 cases as a reason, saying it was too dangerous. She cited the fact that patrons often eat without any masks on, and we'll talk to their servers. She expressed concerns that COVID would spread to those servers and called it, quote, a most dangerous situation. And while it's a tough decision, you got to shut it down. Again, she voted to shut down dining, outdoor dining here in LA County. Well, we've learned that just hours after she made those comments and hours after she made that vote, she came right here behind me to Il Forno in Santa Monica. It's a restaurant she describes as one of her favorite, and she ate outdoors here. We did get a statement from her staff tonight. We want to pull that up right now. It reads in part, quote, She did dine al fresco at Il Forno on the very last day it was permissible. She loves Il Forno, has been saddened to see it, like so many restaurants, suffer from a decline in revenue. She ate there, taking appropriate precautions, and sadly, will not dine there again until our public health orders permit.
Are you mad? Are you really mad? How mad are you? They're doing it time and time again. I can't even count how many have been caught now. She's just the latest. I'm not even picking on this particular woman. Gets out there, casts a vote. 31,000 restaurants. You shut down. Goes and gets in her Subaru Outback, I'm sure. Drives across town and eats outside. Are you actually mad? I'm going to say something, and you want to talk about making you uncomfortable? Oh, I'm about to make you uncomfortable. You do understand. Thomas Jefferson talked about this all the time. You understand these people should be afraid of you, right? You shouldn't be living in fear of them and what they're going to do to you. They should live in fear of you. Should there be a protest in front of that woman's office as we speak? Maybe an effort to recall her? Is she afraid of losing her next election? Maybe she isn't afraid. She doesn't appear to be afraid to me. And if she's not afraid, then whose fault is it? If you have politicians time and time and time again treating you and I like witless suckers who will just lay down and take it and then run back to the polls and ask for more. If they're treating us like that time and time and time again, is it their fault? Or is it our fault? You and I don't like to talk about this because I'm sure you as an individual, it's not your fault. Undoubtedly, if you're watching me right now, you didn't vote for that woman. You don't support that woman. I certainly didn't. But as a whole, as a country, are we actually mad? And if we are mad, you have to show me. Stop telling me how mad you are and show me. If I was a small business owner, an owner of a small restaurant, and I got that order, well, I can't tell you I would do this and wouldn't do that because I'm not that small business owner right now. I'm not going to have to put myself in this situation, but I would maybe have to sit down with the family and say, I might have to go to jail, guys. That's just the bottom line. I might have to open my small business and risk being arrested for opening it because what else are they supposed to do now? These politicians are not going to change their ways unless you make them. They're power-hungry scumbags who enjoy taking a crap all over you. And they're never going to stop as long as you keep enjoying it and asking for more. The second you stop them, they'll stop. There's a million of these Sheila Cools out there. They've been showing you time and time again just how much they respect you, just how much they fear your anger. So one last time, what are you going to do about it? All right, we got Oliver North coming up. See you in a second. HomeTitleLock.com. While I'm talking to you, go there and at least register your address. You see, go register your address because there is a chance you're already a victim of home title theft. You know that? You could be a victim of it right now. I could have been, except I signed up for HomeTitleLock.com. That's what's so terrible about this crime. They get a hold of your home title, they hack in, get it, forge your signature on it, go down to the bank, take a loan out against it, and you don't have a clue. It's not like somebody sends you a text, hey, just a heads up, thanks for the home loan. You don't know till you start getting late notices in the mail. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, sign up today. Use the promo code RADIO, get yourself 30 days for free. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. Joining me now is a special treat for me, historian, former Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps Semper Fi, Oliver North, out with the book, America's Number One Adversary. Colonel, who is America's number one adversary?
There's no doubt about it. His picture's right there in the front of that book. He's an evil guy, right? This fellow right here. He is an evil person. He loves to be called the president of China, trying to emulate maybe the president of the United States. But he's also employing all of those formidable levers of power as the general secretary of the Communist Party against his own people, the United States, our democratic allies around the globe, and their theft of intellectual property threatens our national security and that of all our closest friends. He is an evil guy.
Colonel, before we get to the specifics of what he's doing, can you break down for people who don't know, what is the power structure like there? How much power does he have? There are dictators and then there are dictators. Is he the God King? Does he have five guys around him who are just as powerful? What is the power structure?
Well, he does answer to a Politburo. There's no doubt about it, same as Stalin did. But this guy's willingness to allow tons of illicit addictive drugs to be exported all around the rest of the world endangers millions of people. His false territorial claims over vast expanses of the open seas, the erection of man-made islands, or in fact military bastions, provide all kinds of visual proof of his determination. He wants to dominate the world. And, you know, there's an old expression about the Chinese, goes back centuries. They run a 100-year marathon, and that's what this guy is doing. This guy has actually got more power than any of his predecessors. He, in fact, controls the civilian and the military. And all of what he's been doing is aimed at that domination factor. He wants to be there forever. There's no term limits over there. There's no limits of his power. And other than something like what we did with the communist government that Ronald Reagan used to call the evil empire, there's probably no way of dealing with him other than the soft and quite frankly, the military power of the United States and our allies in that part of the world. We've got some great allies out there. He knows it. But he's also taking, like those islands that he's built up, the pictures of him you see up on the internet are real. This guy is a very, very powerful figure. And even more threatening are their overt and their covert actions to thwart the UN sanctions against Tehran. Just as in North Korea, Xi's determination all but ensures that the Ayatollahs in Iran will obtain nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them. And he's built those kinds of relationships with the Ayatollahs.
Why Iran? What does he get out of that? What's the Chinese connection with Iran? Is it just they oppose America? Is it just that simple?
No, I think it's more than that, Jesse. I think what you've really got there is they realize in Beijing that the Ayatollahs are capable of self-destruction. And if they can use a nuclear weapon, they probably will. And so Chinese are going to help them build those weapons. And that means that they have to build fewer of them. And the idea is, of course, encouraging the Ayatollahs to carry out their threat.
Tell me about these man-made islands. A lot of people hear about this, but they don't go any further than that. Where are they? What are they doing with them? Honestly, a man-made island sounds pretty cool.
Sure. It's a means of controlling the freedom of navigation in that part of the world. So what they do is they dredge up coral from underneath the ocean, and they use that coral to build what they say are simply bastions of military strength. They promised that they wouldn't arm them, but they have. And the idea is that in the event of some kind of hostilities, let's just say, for example, that they decide to make Taiwan part of the mainland. You know, Taiwan's title, Formosa, their title is part of the People's Republic of China, according to those in Beijing. They want to be a free and independent country. Look at Hong Kong, where the idea of freedom has now been crushed. You've got the Communist Party in China, instrumental in the worldwide spread of COVID-19. It's hurt us far more than it's hurt them. The economies in dozens of countries around the world are threatened by their so-called Belt and Road Initiative. If you go to olivernorth.com, you'll see what those islands look like. Click on the red line above my head, and you can see what we've posted about these things. And I'll tell you right now, that's not going to be an easy campaign if you have to go take them back one at a time.
What's this Belt and Road Initiative?
It's their way of buying out. Let's say there's a rare earth metal that you need to build everything from televisions to cell phones, and it's in an African country. They come in offering, look, we'll build a road for you all the way out to that mine where you're taking that stuff out of the ground. And by the way, if you can't make payments on what we're taking, we'll come in and seize the whole thing. And all of what that Belt and Road Initiative is doing is making it more difficult for those countries to survive, because the economic terms look terrific when they're first coming in building highways. They got engineers all over the place in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and what they're trying to do is make sure that they have access to all those kinds of things that they need in order to continue to become a great power. And we've cooperated with them all along. The frightening thing is, given the administration is likely to come into power here on the 20th of January, those guys have been dealing with the Chinese all along. And we all know about Hunter Biden. I'm very concerned that what we're going to try to do is to reestablish the kinds of rapport with them that we've had in the past. It's been a terrible mistake on our part, and they're going to take advantage of it if the Biden administration takes off as it seems to be.
Colonel, what's the North Korea-Chinese relationship? Is this two equal brothers? Is this father-son? Do they hate each other? I think people are confused about what exactly their relationship is. I mean, people obviously know a bunch of United States Marines and soldiers killed a bunch of commie Chinese back in Korea in the day, but what is the relationship now?
Well, North Korea is dependent upon Chinese help in building nuclear weapons. They're absolutely dependent upon it. They're depending on the Chinese for economic assistance. They're dependent on the Chinese for coal and fuel to keep the country warm, at least the leadership of the country warm in the upcoming winter. All of those kinds of things happen because the leaders of both countries understand each other. The Chinese people don't care for the Koreans, and the Koreans don't care for them. They actually fought a border war here about 8-10 years ago. And when you think about backing up those two countries with what this the new administration is likely to do if they get in power, that's not good for us. I see them, the communist Chinese, as the number one threat, the number one adversary to this country today. And President Trump has been dealing with it very effectively. My concern is, well, all of that's about to disappear on the 20th of January.
You bring up Taiwan, and I understand China just considers Taiwan to be part of China anyway. So why haven't they taken it? What's holding them back? Is it us? Is it Britain? Is it somebody else?
No, it's the United States and our allies in that part of the world. Look, we've got great relationships with the Japanese. We've got great relationships with the Australians. What we need to be doing is broadening that relationship. So, for example, India, which has certainly fought many times against the Chinese, you got to get India brought closer, if you will, to this commonwealth of nations, of democracies, in opposing what the Chinese are doing economically as well as militarily. The communist Chinese now have more ships in their navy than we have in ours. And it's not simply a local phenomenon. They've got their ships out there in the Indian Ocean right now and in the Persian Gulf, guarding against what they call piracy. But it's presence operations. They're showing the flag. And what, of course, Xi really wants is to be seen as something other than what he is, a vicious dictator.
What's the quality of their ships, their equipment in general versus ours?
Well, over the last 10 years, they've done a lot to improve it. There's no doubt about it. And they're building carriers. They're building the kinds of vessels that you need in order to launch offensive operations around the rest of the world. And I think it's entirely possible you find the Indian Ocean be dominated by them if we're not very careful. And that means a very close relationship with India, with Australia, making sure that the others realize the threat that they face. Now, the Chinese just declared a new economic cabal out in that part of the world. And what they're looking at is just, in short terms, a propaganda effort. But that potentially is a so-called free trade zone. It's not an immediate problem, but over time it could be.
The book is America's Number One Adversary, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Semper Fi, sir. It's appreciate it.
Semper Fi, Jesse. God bless you, buddy.
That guy's awesome. All right, we got more. Hang on. Joining me now, contributor to The First and writer for The Washington Examiner, Tiana Lowe. Tiana, I have like 10,000 things I need to address with you for tonight. But first, not to get too old, but did you actually eat turkey for Thanksgiving?
No, so we just made a roast chicken. You know, I wasn't going to fly home to my parents in LA, like the busiest weekend of the year. So it was just a very small three-person Thanksgiving with, you know, those of us who've just been potting together. So we did a roast chicken, but we did stuffing, mashed potatoes, Gruyere mac and cheese, the whole shebang.
Ooh, okay. All right, I support you. Let's go to travel. Let's go to coronavirus lockdowns. Again, people were free to believe what they want to believe. But do people actually get angry at hypocritical politicians? I asked this in the wake of that LA County supervisor, of course, casting a vote, no outdoor dining, and then gets in her car and drives to Santa Monica and has a meal outside. And everyone's acting mad today. Are they actually mad? I don't think people are.
Well, they should be, because the outdoor dining ban makes no sense. Right now, you know, for all that the left is saying, follow the science, with the motto that they should be using is stop being stupid. We understand some scientists are saying it's orders of magnitude 20 times more unsafe indoor dining versus outdoor dining. So why would you shut indoor dining? In LA, where it's 75 and sunny right now, you could have every single family in LA patronizing small businesses outside, putting no one at risk of the coronavirus. And instead, what are they doing? They're going to shut everyone down. So the only way you can meet with other people, and people are going to want to meet with other people, are inside people's homes, which is far more dangerous. And we know that. But they feel this incessant need to virtue signal, because clearly something is missing the mark. We don't know what it is. I mean, Jesse, we've seen the numbers worldwide, with the exception of countries like South Korea that have perfect contact tracing and started off immediately with perfect mask compliance. Outside of nations like that, everywhere on the planet is seeing a surge in coronavirus. Yeah, I think that masks indoors clearly work. That almost at the same time, the browbeating of in the summer when we were telling people you can't go to the beach, outside in the sunlight is about the safest place you can be to not get this virus. But all summer we were told the only time it'd be safe to go outside is if you were protesting for Black Lives Matter. And so I think that in California in particular, there is this very strong dichotomy of people, you know, I mean, COVIDiots and Corona bros. And it's just led to this untenable piece where some people just have thrown caution to the wind and no longer care because they see these hypocritical politicians, and even another half of people who are happy to murder every single small business. What about just don't be stupid? How is that not, and especially in California where it's possible? In California, we can do more stuff outside. You can have church outside. You don't need to shut down all these businesses. But instead, it feels like Eric Garcetti and Gavin Newsom just want to cripple the economy for good.
Tiana, I, as you know, I'm not exactly a conspiracy theory guy. Not that I don't think people want to. Most people are too dumb to pull it off, and they certainly can't keep a secret. Nobody can keep a secret anymore. So I don't believe there's some cabal of worldwide leaders smoking cigars trying to crush small businesses. But I do look at what we have, and I see the Amazon numbers, and I'm not anti-Amazon. Lord knows my wife is pro-Amazon. I see the big numbers out there for the big businesses, and I see small businesses being slaughtered. And I see all these big businesses throwing gigantic campaign donations at the politicians who are pushing more lockdowns. And conspiracy theory Jesse is starting to go crazy here thinking they're trying to murder small business.
Well, it's less of a conspiracy, but it is a simple fact that, okay, what have we seen from a concerted effort from the media and from sort of the left wing of global politicians? There has been a concerted effort to crack down on cryptocurrency. Right now, you know, if Amazon becomes a little closer to a Raytheon or a Boeing, where it's a monopsony, where it winds up becoming, you know, there are single purchasers who are responsible for then dictating what has demand and what has no demand in the global economy, it becomes a lot easier for our economies to operate like oligopolies. Like that's just basic economics. If you get rid of all the other sellers, and if you just have the government being like the number one purchaser and decider of goods, then they have a lot more say in what businesses survive and which ones fail. And it's not to get too into the woods of monetary policy, but, you know, for years, I think a lot of conservatives have been warning that negative interest rates would sort of give rise to this European idea that we could just, you know, buy cash for free and, you know, put ourselves into debt for free and the bill will never come due. And we just know that that isn't true, because when the bill does come due, it will be an element of taxation and inflation that, you know, would make the Weimar Republic look quaint, considering that we are the number one currency on the planet.
Is there a concern out there? You brought up, you know, oligarchy. Is there a concern out there, because I am greatly concerned, that we will get to a place where we have 3, 4, 5, 6 private companies in the country that are frankly more powerful than the United States government because they will control the stock market? I mean, you can make the argument they already do. The stock market's so high because we have about 5 of these big tech companies like Amazon that hold the whole economy in their hands. I'm not anti-big business. I'm not anti-anything. I like them as big and rich as they can get, but that's unhealthy for a nation. Is this a legitimate concern that we're heading there quickly?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that, you know, it's outside of Jeff Bezos' mansion that, like, left-wing activists, Antifa, will bring out these fake guillotines. I don't blame Jeff Bezos. I mean, during this pandemic, Amazon has been extremely useful because the local, you know, pharmacy is the only thing in business. Or at least it was. Even in D.C., there were months that the only things open were the pharmacy and the grocery store. If you needed new pants, if you needed new construction materials for your home, Amazon was the only place for people to get it affordably. I don't blame them. They did their job. But this was a government-enforced crushing of Amazon's competitor. So certainly it would be very scary if Amazon becomes the only marketplace. And I don't blame them if they do, because they're not the one, you know, for years, the left always tried to argue that Walmart engaged in predatory pricing, where they artificially make their prices lower than market equilibrium to put their competitors out of business and then jack them up. There's no evidence that Amazon or Walmart or any of these companies are doing that. The government in the last 6 months has effectively done that for them. You know, and I've been trying as much as possible to patronize, you know, the small businesses that have reopened. But it is quite sad when I talk to restaurant owners and when I talk to bartenders who said that, you know, they used every ounce of the CARES Act funds that they got to, you know, input a better HEPA air filtration system. So, you know, you could do indoor dining with less coronavirus transmission. Spending more money on heaters outside so you could prolong how long you could have outdoor eating. And now that you just have governors, you know, they're Nero fiddling while their cities economically burn because just with a swipe of a pen, they decide, oh, never mind, no more outdoor dining.
What should people do about it, Tiana? I mean, look, you don't want to be the riot in the streets guy. You don't want to be the riot in the streets party. I'm not about that. But it's hard for me to look at all these small businesses and not just say open. I mean, if they're going to violate all the rules they tell you you're not allowed to violate, and you're losing your livelihood, why aren't you just opening the doors and screw them?
I mean, it's difficult, right? Because these businesses. I mean, we already saw in New York. The businesses that sassed Andrew Cuomo with, you know, when he required, in order for you to sit at a bar, socially distanced, outside, you had to order a piece of food. And he decided a soup isn't a food, but a salad is a food. You know, and so all these bars created these pithy little menus where they sold Cuomo chips. You get 6 chips for $1, you know, just to skirt around the rules. And he slapped some of those bars by taking away their liquor licenses, putting them out of business. So it's hard to say what we can do to fight this. You know, on my street, there's one of the remaining restaurants, one, because all the other ones either were limited or went out of business. You know, they've been trying to create these like outdoor contraptions that look even more dangerous than eating inside. But I don't blame them, because when you're desperate, when you know that these governors and these mayors can just decide, eh, never mind, you don't get to make money today. That is literally what they did in communist Yugoslavia. No, my grandparents used to tell me when they owned mills for farming, the communist government would tell them, you're not allowed to sell. That is how they started it. And so I don't know the best way to combat this. I really wish that I did. But like, you know, I've spent the last 6 months writing about the transmission of coronavirus in schools. For little kids, there basically is none. Warning, you know, we have to open up the schools before we do anything. It's probably safer than even opening up the bars, although there's very limited evidence the bars are doing anything. Most of this is coming from these large multi-generational family gatherings. That's what it looks like. None of that is happening in private businesses. So why are you shutting down the businesses where people can be socially distanced outside with better ventilation? And instead, you're just implicitly inviting everyone to come back home. Jesse, to use maybe a little bit more of a PG-13 metaphor, this is like telling a bunch of college students, you're all just going to be abstinent, right? We don't need to have like condoms on this college campus, right? We don't need to tell anyone like be smart, make good choices. We could just assume that everyone's just going to follow the rules, and the rules are just abstinence. That is the equivalent of what our coronavirus guidance is right now. We have to realize kids need in-person education. People want socialization. How do you foster that in a way that benefits the businesses, that benefits people's jobs, but also is not encouraging dozens of people to cram into a home because you made the restaurants that are safer illegal?
Tiana Lowe, everybody. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, we'll be back. As you know, I am such a soft, cuddly, kind human being, full of compassion. And so I choose now and then to bring you these heartwarming videos because my heart is so big. Enjoy.
Close your eyes. Close them, close them, close them.
Okay, open. Open, help him open it.
You're joking. No way! No way! You're joking, right?
No!
Hi! Hi!
Hi!
Merry Christmas, boys.
Come, bro. Pet it. Pet the dog, man.
What, Ryan? He's happy. No. Happy tears. Happy.
Why, Ryan? What?
It's a girl.
Definitely scared.
Pet her, Aiden.
See? I care. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is an iHeart podcast.